Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Almost everything you'll need is in the bulletin. I got up early enough to put my church face on today, and I see everybody else did. It's good to see everybody welcoming and greeting one another here, because it's a joy that we celebrate this morning 125 years of ministry in this place. So it's for that reason, with that joy, we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dearly beloved, on the special occasion of our 125th anniversary, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great blessings given to our forefathers and to us. On this celebration Sunday, let us praise our gracious God, listen to His holy word, and ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary not only for our life and salvation, but for the life and salvation of others through us. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and merciful God, we commit our follow in the footsteps of Jesus and in the example of the founders of our church. We have not always lived as we had intended, and have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. Instead of following your commands, we have sometimes followed the desires of our own hearts. We have offended you and your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done. We have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to the promises you declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live lives that reflect who we are as children of the Most High God. Help us to live godly, righteous, and sober lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance, amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the God and Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God. The deep places of the earth are in His hand.
The strength of the hills is His also.
The sea is His, and He made it.
And His hand formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God.
And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. As it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
reading from Lamentations for the Old Testament. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for today comes from the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and have acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thank you, God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they've grown. They neither toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Gracious God, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We pray that you would bless us now as we hear your word. Give us attentive hearts so we hear what you have to say to us and for our lives and for this congregation too as it celebrates 125 years. Guide us into your future in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you. My name is Pastor Michael Newman. I've served for 7 years as the president of the Texas District of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you don't know what that is, it's a partnership of about 400 congregations and mission stations across Texas, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations, all joined together for one purpose, to shine the light of Jesus and share His good news. So it's been a blessing to serve. I just finished my term, and we have a new president, President John Brown is right there, and he's taking over. I'm handing the job off to him, and as of August 31st, that'll be my last day before I retire, so it's really nice to be with you. We arranged this long ago. Steve reached out to me, I think in January or something, said, hey, can we get a date? Can we set a date for the 125th? So we were able to put that date on the calendar, and it's so nice to celebrate with you. My wife Cindy and I are glad to be here with you. When I did a little dive into the history of this congregation, one word that came into my mind was wow. Wow. Because obviously, you know, since 1900, there's been a rich history, and just a little before that. But even a little deeper than that, something caught my eye. Back in the late 1800s, the Southern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that was based in New Orleans and covering that southern portion of the U.S., east of the Mississippi, sent missionaries to Texas. Texas was a growing state. The railroads were coming out. And they said, we've got to bring the gospel to Texas. And Texas was a wild and rough land at the time. There was malaria here and typhoid and all kinds of, it was the wilderness, the Wild West. But the Southern District sent a missionary, J.J. Trinkline, Pastor J.J. Trinkline, to Texas. He was the very first missionary from the LCMS who came here. And he started in the greater Houston area. And this is the area, one of the areas he started to work on as a missionary, and Wallace is one of the towns where he started some initial work among Lutherans. In fact, J.J. Trinkline was so successful, he started about 20 mission stations, preaching stations, and congregations all around this area in Texas. He was the hero of Texas missions, really, for the Missouri Synod. And because of his success, the Southern District said, let's send some more missionaries out. So it's interesting, J.J. Trinkline had 16 congregations he was taking care of. How about that, Pastor Sinclair? He didn't even have a bicycle. I mean, he had to ride a horse or walk or do that kind of thing. And these were truly heroic missionaries. They braved the elements. And can you imagine being a congregation that was one of 16 preaching stations? That means lay leaders like you picked up the ball, and when the pastor couldn't be there, they would have services, and they would give messages and take care of one another as a congregation. Well, once Pastor Trinkline got up to 16 congregations, the Southern District said, they voted, they said, wow, there's been such success, let's send another missionary. And the history says that that missionary took 6 congregations, so Pastor Trinkline only had 10, so he could start more new mission stations. Isn't that crazy? I just said, wow, what a true hero. In fact, this congregation, because of that work, you really are part of the fabric of the very beginning of the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is now the largest district in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have more missions, more new congregations, as this congregation once was, than any other district in the entire synod. In fact, we have about 40 congregations that are waiting to charter as new missions, just like this congregation did back in 1900. 40 of them. In the entire Lutheran Church Missouri Synod across the country, all the districts combined, there are only 35. So, God is doing great things in Texas, right? Yeah. And I want you to know, you're a part of that momentum. You are a part of that fabric because you were the beginning of missions in Texas. And we've kept that DNA and that momentum going through all these years. Absolutely amazing. It just made me say, wow. And that's where the sermon title started. Wow. But even more than that, if you take a look at the staying power of even this congregation, think about it. Think about what this congregation went through. So the late 1800s was recovery from the Civil War in the United States. The Industrial Revolution started. There was an economic downturn that took place just before this congregation was chartered. And then if you look post-1900, you see the urbanization of America, huge shifts in population. And then came another world war. World War I started. During that time, a massive pandemic. Sound familiar? It changed everything. In the early 1920s, immigration laws changed dramatically in the U.S. with the Emergency Immigration Act, and the flow of European immigrants, especially from Germany, which was a huge part of the Lutheran Church's mission field, was cut off. And so the church had to say, now, who do we reach, and how do we reach people? How do we adapt to a new nation? And then in the 1920s came what historians call the Great Religious Depression. People just stopped going to church. It may have been related to the pandemic, may have been related to the end of the war, and during that time, the culture went crazy. The Roaring Twenties, you've heard of it, right? Moral confusion, all kinds of chaos taking place. And it was really hard to be the church and to be a Christian during all those times. And then at the end of the 1920s, when people were wondering, what do we do? How do we pursue the mission? And our church body was wondering the same thing, came the crash of 1929, the Great Economic Depression. Think about it. Think of God's faithfulness for this congregation through those years of turmoil, turbulence, chaos, and confusion. And yet, people here said, we will keep going. We're going to shine the light of Jesus. We're going to proclaim His Word. We're going to love our neighbors. We're going to raise our kids in the faith. We believe that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God was faithful every step of the way. Now, it didn't get easier after the 1930s. It got harder. Another world war took place. Because of those wars, the Missouri Synod, that was on an upward trend all the way through the First World War, experienced its first decline in membership because of all the young men who lost their lives during the war. So there was heartbreak, there was pain, there was fear, and then the rationing and the difficulty and the worry that took place during World War II. And you could just keep going all through history, through the 1900s, into the changes in technology and presidential resignation and various economic difficulties and gas shortages and move it all through the dot-com bust and the economic difficulties in 2008, 2009, all the challenges, even today. But look at God's faithfulness. You look at 125 years of history in this church and you have to open your mouth and say, wow, wow, look how God has sustained us. You've been through some challenges as a congregation. My friend and classmate, Pastor Rod Hubert, was here. He died too early. You experienced the grief, the loss of a pastor. You've experienced the ups and downs of a congregation trying to keep the pulpit filled. You've been blessed with wonderful pastors who have come here. Through it all, it is God who has been working for you, carrying you, showing His great faithfulness to you every step of the way. Some of you may have walked into this celebration this morning wondering, is God hearing my prayers? Is He really walking with me? You've got economic problems. You have family issues going on, relationship issues. There's illness in your family, or you're experiencing that. You have grief in your heart because of the loss of a loved one. You're worried about the world and its condition, and the 24/7 news cycle sometimes makes you very anxious about what's going on. Maybe there's problems at work or problems with a neighbor. You carry your own burdens and you wonder, is God really faithful? Is He hearing my prayers? Is He walking with me? Well, when you come to a day like this and you look back 125 years and you see all of the obstacles that could have snuffed out the gospel and God's church and God's action, and yet here we are celebrating, God is saying to you today, I'm faithful in your life. I am with you. I am for you. I'm your Redeemer and your Savior. Don't give up hope. That's such an important message we all need to hear, that God is faithful and with you. And it makes you say, wow. Pause and say, wow. Think of what God has brought you through in your lives. Think of all the ups and downs. You're not here because you're might or power. You're not here because you're money or savvy. You're here because God Himself has been carrying you. He loves you, and He is with you and faithful to you. That's the message you and I heard in the Scripture readings for today. In Lamentations, which great is thy faithfulness, is based upon, the hymn is based on that reading from Lamentations. You know, a lament is crying. It's sad. It's when God's people were in captivity. They lost everything. And yet, right in the middle of that book of the Bible, we hear that great declaration, great is thy faithfulness. God is still faithful, even in times that are troubled. Then, of course, you hear Jesus in the Gospel from St. Luke just telling you straight up, don't worry. Don't be anxious. There's a lot of anxiety around. There's all kinds of reasons that you may think of to just be anxious and lose hope. But Jesus says, God is taking care of you. Look at how He takes care of His creation. He loves you much more than all of those things. He is with you. Great is His faithfulness. And you say, wow, God loves me that much that He knows every step of my life. He hears my prayers and He cares about me. That's what you heard in Hebrews chapter 11 as well. It's known as the Faith Hall of Fame, because it lauds God's faithfulness to His people. And it makes you say, wow. It starts off with creation. By faith, the world was created. And you just say, wow, it's an amazing, complex, beautiful world that God has given us. That shows His faithfulness. Then you hear about His work in people's lives, like Abel, who gave that great sacrifice, or Enoch, who was whisked to heaven, or Noah, who was saved from the flood, or Abraham and Sarah, who had a baby when they were 100 years old and 90 years old, respectively. Wow, a miracle. Great is God's faithfulness. He does the impossible. The things that you think are impossible, He takes care of. If you go further in the book of Hebrews, it continues by talking about the children of Israel walking through the Red Sea on dry land. That's a wow story in the Bible. Or how about the walls of Jericho falling down? That's not because the people were so strong. It was God's faithfulness, and they said, wow, after they marched around that city. You hear about Daniel being rescued from the lion's den and the three men being rescued from the fiery furnace and God raising people back to life when their loved ones were brokenhearted and in need. Wow, 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 God's faithfulness every step of the way. Great is His faithfulness. What a wow life you and I live because God is taking care of us. And it's important to hear that and say it and believe it and trust it again today as we celebrate 125 years of history. To circle the day on your calendar and say, I may doubt that God is with me tomorrow, but I saw that He is faithful on this day and I will carry that with me and trust Him with all my burdens, with all my challenges, and with the seasons ahead. Now sometimes, though, you and I are tempted to not believe Him. And I think even in our own church, we're struggling a little bit today with our faith and trust in God's promises. We read the Scriptures, and the Bible says that God's Word will not return empty. It's going to accomplish everything He sent it for. But sometimes you take a look at the landscape of the world, you look at the chaos of the culture, you look at the confusion going on in morality. You see people not going to church. You see younger generations. And you worry about them. Your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your children. You wonder, are they going to really trust in God? And sometimes in your heart of hearts, you say to yourself, I don't know if God could do it. I don't know if He can handle the problems we have. The sins seem too big. The problems seem too daunting, and you begin to shrink back a little bit and say, maybe He did it in my lifetime, but can He really do it with today's problems? With the political issues, the wars, the difficulties, the fear, can He really do it? And if you're walking through the valley of difficulty, you may say, can God really come through in my life? Will He really hear my prayers? Is there really a hope and a future for me? And we doubt the Word of God. We hear Jesus promise that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the advance of His kingdom. But you say, is that true in the 21st century? And we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt the promises of God in the Scriptures. And sometimes it paralyzes us and immobilizes us. There are people in the church who say, you know, it's not worth trying to start new churches like they did back in the 1800s and early 1900s, because who's going to want to come to church? You see, people doubt the power of the gospel and the faithfulness of God working through the Word. Sometimes you may say, is it really worth writing a Bible verse in my grandchild's birthday card? Should I really share a prayer with that person at work or my neighbor? Is it really worth it? Are they going to be offended? Is it going to go nowhere? Maybe I should just hang back and not say anything, not do anything, because life is just too tough these days and religion is being criticized and maybe Christianity is out of style. See, it sometimes paralyzes you and immobilizes you. And maybe that happens for you as a congregation. You say, well, gosh, we're a small church. Who's going to want to come? Who's going to want to hear the Word of God when there's football games going on and there's all kinds of attractions in life? Why would anyone want the gospel? Why would anyone want to sit in pews and sing hymns? Why would anyone want to fellowship with us? Maybe we should just kind of turn inward and say, we'll just do the best we can by ourselves. You see, the devil wants you to believe that God isn't faithful. He wants you to believe that God can't measure up to the challenges of the day. He wants you to believe that His Word that is living and active really can't really get into the hearts of the people closest to you. And that shrinks us back, makes us get a standstill and show doubt. That's part of our fallen, sinful nature, where we kind of shrink God down to our own size and our own abilities. So what happened in Hebrews chapter 11 after that faith hall of fame, what's the remedy to us who doubt God's faithfulness so easily and so quickly? Well, following Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of that book of the Bible did something really special. He said, if you have a hard time believing this, if you're afraid because of the times and the seasons, if you worry about the effectiveness of God's Word or think that the church cannot move forward at all or the gospel has lost its power, in Hebrews chapter 12 he says, wait a minute, we have this great cloud of witnesses around us. Just like all the forefathers and founders of this congregation, this great cloud of witnesses is around us, and they are pointing us to Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We keep running the race that He marked out for us. Jesus Himself went to the cross, scorned its shame, rose up from the dead, and sits at the right hand of God. When you're doubting God's faithfulness, look to Jesus, because He proves that God is always faithful. Always. You know, my wife and I like to watch those HGTV renovation shows. Do you watch those at all? It used to be Flip or Flop or Flipping 101 or Resort Renovation we were just watching. And it's really fun to see an old broken down house, you know, or a building, and it's just hopeless. You look in there and you say, how can anyone even live there? And then the renovation experts come in and do their magic, and the one word they look for when the person opens the door to come back into their house or in a new place, the one word they're listening for is, wow. Exactly. Because it's such a dramatic difference. Wow, look, this is not the same place. See, that's exactly what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, for your life and my life, and for us as His came to our broken down, untrusting, doubting, sinful selves. And He did a complete renovation by His grace through His blood shed on the cross. When He rose up from the dead, He presents us to God perfect and without sin. In baptism, we are washed clean. And Romans chapter 6 says that because we are buried with Jesus into his death, raised with him in his resurrection, we now walk in the newness of life. We are a renovated, reformed, refreshed person by the grace of God. And even God looks at us and says, wow, these are my people. This is my child. And wow, look what you will do to shine the light of Jesus and make a difference and impact in so many people's lives because we are saved by the grace of God. A beautiful gift. During the district convention back in June, we closed out with a closing memorial service. And Pastor Hooper's name and picture were even in that memorial service. We remembered all those who have joined the Lord who were church workers. And it was also not just a service of remembering God's gifts of the past, but also looking to the future, kind of like you're doing here at the anniversary service. And part of it was sending. At the very end of the service, the pastor at Glory Day in Houston, who helped arrange all this, had these mirrors and spotlights kind of reflecting the light, just like we reflect the light of Christ. And at the very end, with everyone gathered, all those spotlights pointed to a mirror ball that was hanging from the middle of the sanctuary, and the reflection lit up the whole ceiling with what looked like stars shining everywhere. And when the crowd was hushed during this time of sending and blessing that we would shine like stars in the universe as we hold out this word of life, my grandson, who's 5 years old, was being held by his daddy there, our family was. So everyone was quiet in church. My grandson looked up at the ceiling and said, wow. Everybody could hear it. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't that such an innocent expression of really what faith is? Isn't it just, wow. Against all odds, look what God has done. Wow. He's washed our sins away. He's made us new creations. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. The life we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And sometimes we need a reminder of that wonder, of that gift, of that confidence, so we could share those wows with one another. So that as a church, you could experience new life and say, yes, we are God's shining light, His lampstand. We do reach out our prayers and our gifts and our presence make a difference, no matter how small we are or big we are, because God is faithful. Wow. Look what He's doing in our lives. My prayer for you is that as you go from this anniversary, you will kind of take that wow captive for Christ. You know, the Bible says take every thought captive for Christ. And when you see a beautiful, you know, when the heavens declare the glory of God, you see a beautiful sunrise or sunset, you just say, and Texas has beautiful sunrises and sunsets. Maybe you'll remember, wow, that's right, that's God's wow. That's His faithfulness. That's His shining light for me and through me. Or when you see an amazing play watching one of the football games, because football's back, aren't you glad? It's back. And maybe watching one of the football games today, and there's some rookie quarterback who does something absolutely amazing in these preseason games. You say, wow, did you see that? You'll say, oh, that's God's wow. He created us. He gave us all our talents. He's behind all this. Or when something else makes you say, wow, maybe your grandchild says something or does something. You just remember, that's God's wow. He created those wonderful blessings of family. And we'll take that thought captive. And whenever you say, wow, you'll not only remember God's faithfulness to you, but you'll say, how can I share that with someone in my life? How can I give God credit and just let Him know that, you know, Jesus is behind all of this. Just like He's behind this church, its anniversary celebration, your life and my life. Wow. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us the wonderful blessing of, wow, that You love us and You make us Your own and You shine Your light in our lives. You've been faithful through generation after generation, and You're not stopping now. We have hope and a future because of You that lasts all the way to our eternal life in heaven because of Your Son. Wow. Allow every wow to remind us of You and give us an open door to share that with people who need to hear about You. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, President Newman, for your words. Don will be bringing up the offering plate, as you see in your bulletin here. The congregation decided they didn't want to pass the plate because it's their responsibility and they want today to be a gift to you. As you can see from the message, it's not a surprise that President Newman was elected some years ago to service. And he has been an incredible head of the church during a time where the church has still struggled with how do we do this church here in Missouri Synod. Yeah, it's been good. And you both also notes that if any of you came prepared to receive an offering, there'll be an offering basket also in the back there right in front of the organ. And you're welcome to use that as you please. Well, let's turn our hearts to the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Lord, your word says that In the beginning you created the heavens and the earth, and your spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. It's as though you were hatching something new and beginning something that would glorify you, and day by day what you brought into order you called good. And when you'd finished it all, you called it very good. So Lord, we thank you that day by day, year by year, you've been shaping things here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Wallace, Texas. And as you put something into place and shape what you intended, you called it good. If we could hear you say it, you would say, wow. We thank you, Father, that you brought us to this day. And so we thank you, Father, that you've given us the opportunity and the time and the health and the strength to gather together as people, all of whom have some history, some connection, some appreciation for what you have been doing here during these 125 years. And so, Father, we come together. We join our hearts together. And we thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to life from the death, that we might serve you and glorify you in all that we do, in all the relationships we have, that others may know of your grace and your goodness that you've extended to us, that they would be able to receive and participate in that with us, not only now, but for an eternity. And so, Father, it's with a joy that we come to you. And we lift up our hearts to you and those that are on our hearts, both happy and sad. We lift them up to you and we come to you in the words of the prayer that Jesus, you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As a sign of your being open to and receiving God's benediction, his blessing, would you just hold your hands out like this to receive the benediction this morning? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
may be seated for a few announcements.